الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى Most respected ulama, seniors, brothers in Islam, and my fellow students, I've been instructed by Hazrat to just make some mudhakara, make some takrar, do some revision about some matters and the aspect of the tasawwuf itself, or tazkiyah, or islah. Alhamdulillah, with the effort of our seniors, prior to this, maybe 20 years ago, we weren't familiar with these words also. When we used to hear this word tasawwuf, we used to hear the word islah, we used to hear about the Sufis, we used to hear about the Buzurgane Deen, then these were people and this was a concept which was very distant to us. Something which we were very far from. But Alhamdulillah, with the effort of the seniors and with the constant coming of our elders and our akabir, this term is now become something that we are accustomed to. It has also come something which is maybe an household item for us. We are all near to this effort because of which certain changes have taken place in our life. And these changes that have taken place in our life, without any doubt, very important. A person may have been reading 5 times salah, may have been reading 3 times salah a day, 4 times salah a day, he came on to 5 times salah a day. A person wasn't wearing the sunnat libas, the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, you find the sunnat on his face, you find the sunnat, the dressing of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Outer changes have taken place. And without any doubt, these outer changes of our libas, the sunnat on our face, this is something which is extremely important. Without this outer change, without following the apparent sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person cannot bring that inside change in him. Because this inside change takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of time, but the outer change can be done overnight. So if we do not do that outer change, then we are showing that we are insincere for bringing that inner change within us. 3 times salah, 4 times salah we were reading, 5 times salah, this is a farz, this is a compulsion, nobody can argue, this is something very important. Salah is the first thing that is going to be reckoned on the day of Qiyamah. But for some reason, we have come accustomed to the word tasawwuf, we have come accustomed to the word islah, we have come accustomed to the word tazkiyah, but we haven't understood the essence, we haven't understood the objective, and we have restricted tazkiyah only to these outer things, because of which we feel that if these changes happen in my life, then finished, I am done, I have reached. But this is not the case. A person needs to make a constant effort, he has to continue in this effort, and there has to be improvement in his salah. There has to be improvement in his a'mal. And there are many a'mal, there are many aspects of deen which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not bring only salah. Salah is one pillar of Islam. But there are other pillars of Islam, and there are other aspects of our deen. For example, like our social dealings, our monetary dealings, Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have controlled and given us rules and regulations with regard to our monetary dealings, with regard to our social dealings, with regard to our character, how we should portray ourselves, How should a person be with his family? How he should be with strangers? These are also aspects which are part of Islam. This is the sunnah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought for us to follow. This is the tariqah which Allah Ta'ala is happy with. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a beautiful, beautiful example for you. So these are also aspects which need to come into our life. And this obviously requires an effort. This is why we all in need of this. That's why we all for a common purpose gather. These are what the Islahi Majalis are about. That our akabir, what they have gained from the elders, they hand it down to us. And we, if we are in the companionship of a certain people who have got the common motive and who have got the common objective, then these things will be attained in our life. كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says that you must be amongst those people who are pious, who are true servants of Allah Ta'ala. And this command of Allah Ta'ala to be in the companionship of these people, the reason for that is that a constant effort can be made, that the whole aspect, the whole of deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can come into our lives. That is exactly what the i'lan in Jamaat also goes, that the whole entire deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must come into our lives. Not only certain aspects which suit us or which we are comfortable with, and after that we stop there many years, we do not progress. Why this progress does not happen? Sometimes we do not put an effort behind it, although we come in the company of the mashayikh. And sometimes we stay away from the mashayikh, we stay away from these companies, thinking that whatever needed to be achieved, we have achieved it. But our business dealings, like how they were continuing, corrupt transactions, haram transactions, that continues. Our dealing with people, dealing with them in a bad way, that continues. Our bad akhlaq, bad character, that continues. But this is not Islam. Islam controls every aspect of our life. And this is actually what tasawwuf is. Once a great senior alim, he was more involved in politics. He didn't know anything about tasawwuf. He was en route to one place for some meeting of his, some work of his, and he passed by Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, and he told him that while I am passing here, I got some work, I'm not going to stop here for long, but I just want to ask you one question, and I'll leave you with this question, and later on when I'm on my way back, you can ponder over this, you can think about the answer, and on my way back, you can give me the answer to this question of mine. And he asked Hazrat Shaykh, he said, "Ye tasawwuf kya bala hai?" He said, "What is this tasawwuf story? What is this thing tasawwuf?" Like what we'll say. "What is this tasawwuf thingy?" This is what the England people will say. So, he asked Hazrat Shaykh, "What is this?" And he says, "I'll wait for the answer." Hazrat Shaykh said, "No, you can immediately have the answer." This man thought, he had many questions against tasawwuf. He did not understand tasawwuf very well. So he thought that, you know, I've got all my questions lined up. I've got all my debates lined up with other sheikh. And I will debate with him on this issue, that issue. It will take a lot of time. So I'll give him time to think about it. And when I have time after that, I'll come and debate all the issues with him. But Hazrat Shaykh said that while you're going, you can take the answer with you. The answer is very simple. And he told him, he said that tasawwuf starts off from innama al-amalu bin niyat, that is the beginning of tasawwuf, and the end and the final result that we want to take you in tasawwuf is an ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara fa illam takun tarahu fa innahu yarak, that you worship Allah Ta'ala as if you are seeing Allah Ta'ala. Then a person might think that how is it possible, is it difficult for me to think about Allah Ta'ala? So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if this is difficult for you, then you should at least know فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاك, that Allah Ta'ala is watching you. So the person should develop this consciousness that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. When a person develops this consciousness that Allah Ta'ala is watching him, this is what is described in the hadith and also what our ulama call is maqama ihsan. This maqama ihsan is where a person must finally reach, where he is totally and all the time conscious that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. And after that, Now there's a great room for a person now to climb stages and stages in this stage of ihsan. This is the final stage, but after this now there's great progress. A person now, whatever effort he makes, he will get closer and closer and closer to Allah Ta'ala. So this man was surprised, this alim was surprised. He told Hazrat Shaykh, is that what the tasawwuf is about? He says, yes, that's what it's about. Whatever questions you have in your mind, whatever you were thinking about, it's not all that. And he says, whatever is between these two stages, that is tasheeh niyat, for a person to make his niyat correct, innama al-amalu bin niyat, and a person now to reach this position of ihsan, whatever is in between is all to achieve this. To achieve innama al-amalu bin niyat, and to achieve this quality of ihsan. All these are now to help a person, all these are to assist a person to reach the stage. But this is the crux of the tasawwuf. And if a person develops this consciousness, which we call ihsan, and which the ulama call, when they say this is a sahib nisbat, many people don't even understand this word sahib nisbat. When they say this person is sahib nisbat, is that person is sahib nisbat, that means he's a bed to a sheikh. That is not what is the meaning of sahib nisbat. Nisbat means nisbat ma'allah. Does this man have has he got confidence from his sheikh that he has a connection with Allah Ta'ala, that he has a consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in whatever he does? Because if a person has the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in whatever he does, then you'll find that when he is in his house, he will remember, he will be aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. When he is in his business, he will be aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. When he is in private, he will be aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. When he is in public, he will be aware that Allah Ta'ala is watching him. When he decides to commit that sin, when he closes those doors, he closes those windows, he closes the curtains, he offs the lights. And then another light goes on, the cell phone light, whatever light goes on, whatever guna he wants to commit, if he's conscious and he's aware of Allah Ta'ala, then this person will not do that sin. And if he's constantly aware of Allah Ta'ala, then a person will progress in fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the consciousness that a person must bring himself to, and this is where, why he comes in the company of the sheikhs, kunu ma'a sadiqeen. He comes in the companionship, he sits and he listens to the wa'ad, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the stories of our elders, he gets encouraged, and he is primed all the time, he is conscious, and if his conscience gets a lull, and it becomes weak, then he goes to the majlis again, he keeps a company with his sheikh, he keeps in contact with his sheikh, and they both have the same objective. If his sheikh, mashallah, he is also climbing to the stage, he is building up in ihsan, he is also climbing in stages, he is also helping the murid to reach somewhere. Because he has gone through this path. This path has many pitfalls also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educates us on this. See, we have the fuqaha, the jurists of Islam. They have extracted all the laws from the Quran which a person must follow. We have a legal system in Sharia. Then we have these ulama of akhlaq, which they have studied all those aspects which the Quran and which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expects of us and wants it in our lives. So these ulama are the specialists in this. They have already studied and they have already extracted what is demanded from us. This is the education now which is handed down to us, like what they say, chabi chabai luqma. That means that is made, prepared for us, the fuqaha, mashallah. If we had to go and extract the masail from the Quran and hadith, it would have been very difficult for us. The masail that is extracted by them, the deep points that are extracted by them, the system that they have put in their books, Allah Ta'ala give them jazai khair. They made practicing on Islam very easy for us. And then you have the ulama of akhlaq, the ulama of tasawwuf. They have went and they have studied and extracted all those aspects, those akhlaqiyat, and all those qualities which Allah Ta'ala wants in us, all those qualities which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants in us. They have put it in a systematic way, and they are feeding it to us. Whenever we come to the majalis, they feed it to us in a systematic way, and in that we progress until we reach that position of ihsan. If a person now reaches this position, he is conscious of what Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala is watching him, this person will never commit any sin. This person will fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Coming back to our salah, we brought that five times daily salah in our life. Does it stop there? It does not stop there. Are we reading salah with jamaat? If we are reading Salawat Jamaat, are we late every day? Are we always in the back serve? Did we progress to the front serve? When we came to the front serve, all the time in our Salah, do we have concentration in our Salah? Have 10 years passed, 20 years passed, 30 years passed, still we are thinking of our businesses in Salah. Still we are thinking of everything else in Salah, or has concentration built up in the Salah? This is what Tasawwuf is about. Kunu ma'a sadiqeen. That a person now gets, you must remember that first a person has to have knowledge. After he has that knowledge, he can bring it into practice. A person has to have some consciousness. After consciousness, the change is brought in his life. So when we sit in the majalis, when we sit in the company of the pious, then this consciousness comes into us, this knowledge comes into us. When this knowledge comes into us, it becomes second nature in us. Then the colors start showing in our body. The colors start showing in our amal. Hazrat Shaykh mentioned to this person that this is the beginning, this is the end. Regarding the beginning of the tasawwuf, where he said, innama al-a'malu bin niyyat, there are many aspects in there. The niyat is such a thing which differentiates between adat and ibadat. The ulama, when they explain niyat, they say that the niyat differentiates between adat and ibadat. Niyat differentiates between darajat of amal. One is a person got a habit. For example, a person has got a habit of bathing every day. On the day of Jummah, he also has a bath. Now that is his adat. But on the day of Jummah, if he's conscious and he makes a niyat that he's fulfilling the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to bath on the day of Jummah, his adat becomes ibadat. A permissible action, just simply because of niyat, this permissible action can either take a turn of haram, or it can either take a turn of ibadat. For example, let's take itar. A person puts itar on his body, he says, because I love the smell of this itar. So this is a permissible action. He enjoys the smell of itar, there's nothing wrong with it. He puts this itar on his body. That is a permissible action, no reward for it. Now a person makes a niyyah, good niyyah. He says that I am using this itar because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved itar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said three things were made beloved to me. One of those things were the itar. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his niyat is to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He puts that itar on. He gets the reward of a sunnah. A person now, the same itar can have a bad niyyah. He says, now I'm going to work today. And yesterday the ladies at the workplace, or ladies who I walk past, they are always asking about this perfume of mine or this itar of mine. You know, so therefore today I want to put this itar on, having that niyat in mind. So that was a permissible action, just that one thing, the niyat changing, this became a sin. This became a sin. So just with a simple niyat, what happens, a permissible action can either become an ibadah, it can either be a sin. And a permissible, an action of ibadah, suratan, that means outwardly it might look the same, but it may change from form to form because of the niyyah. For example, a person walks in the masjid, Zohar Salah time, he reads the four sunnahs of Zohar. The four sunnahs of Zohar, apparently when you look at it, is four rakat. The four fard of Zohar, if you apparently look at it, is four rakat. But if he makes the niyyah of sunnah, that four rakat, first four become sunnah. If he makes a niyyah of fard, for the second four rakats, that becomes fard. What was the differentiating factor between these two four rakats, these two sets of four rakats? One was sunnah, one fard. What was the differentiating fact? The niyyah. So if a person makes a niyyah, this niyyah loves his status. The niyyah can put a person in trouble. The niyyah can take a person, give him more reward. Once our Ustad, Mawlana Abdullah Maulvi, Damat Barakatum, he explained to us from his Ustad, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Rahimahullah. Hafiz Abdul Rahman, yeah, he says, he used to tell me that between us and the Buzurg, there is no difference, except in niyyah. He says, you find our actions, their actions will be the same. He says, but sometimes we won't have niyyah. Or we'll have one niyyah, he says, but that Buzurg will have 10, 20, 30 niyyahs with it. When we walk to the masjid, we rushing to the masjid because we're late for salah. When the buzurgs used to leave for the masjid, they used to leave early for salah. And in that need for coming to the masjid is I'm going to worship Allah Ta'ala. Fulfill the great command of Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to fulfill the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm going to meet my fellow Muslim brothers, I'm going to make salam to them. They made many, many niyats while walking. You might be walking side by side with a buzurg. You come with an empty bag, he comes with a full bag. What's the difference? The difference is in the niyyah. This consciousness of niyyah is what Allah Ta'ala taught Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala taught Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a broad niyyah. He told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That say, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that my salah and all my ibadat, all my acts of worship, and my living and my dying is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So see what a great niyyah. This is a niyyah that we must have with us also. That our whole living and our dying, our daily when we get up in the morning, our whole day is going to pass for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. We're going to be conscious of Allah Ta'ala. When we sleep at night also, we're going to be conscious of Allah Ta'ala. There was one buzurg who used to say that, أَحْتَسِبُ فِي قَوْمَتِي أَوْ أَحْتَسِبُ فِي نَوْمَتِي كَمَا أَحْتَسِبُ فِي قَوْمَتِي. He said that I have a need of reward in my sleeping, like how I have a need of reward in my tahajjud. That means when they used to sleep also, they used to sleep with a niyyah. They used to say that I'm sleeping with the niyyah that I can get more strength to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala. That I can get strength to do ibadah, to do the worship of Allah Ta'ala. I can get strength to deal well. Or I can have a relaxed mind to deal well with my Muslim brother. Eat food, that I'm eating food so that I don't be angry, so that I do not go against the command of Allah Ta'ala. That I fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala. That I eat food, I don't get angry, so that I can deal well with my Muslim brother. I sleep, I'm having the sleep so that I'm not in a bad mood, so that I can deal well with my Muslim brother. Because it is a command of Allah Ta'ala. So when they sleep, they also sleep with this niyyah. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created man and jinn except that they worship me. So that means that 24 hours of our life must be in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Obviously, a person has to work, a person has to earn money, he has to rest, he has to have food. But Allah Ta'ala, in this ayah, has told us that actually, all these things are not supposed to be done, you're supposed to be worshipping me all the time. So if we understand this point, then we will understand that everything else we have to do, it is out of necessity. And we can also understand the objective of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala made us understand this, that in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is told to us, that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on Mi'raj, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was actually commanded with 50 salahs a day. So if we had to perform 50 salahs a day, our whole day would have been occupied in salah. So Allah Ta'ala is actually reminding us of our actual objective, is that we must worship Allah Ta'ala on this earth. And Allah Ta'ala also says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created man and jinn except that they worship me. So this is the actual objective of ours. So if we are doing something else, we are actually doing it on suffering. We are actually doing it away from our objective. Our objective is supposed to be worshipping Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala has also had mercy on this ummah, in that Allah Ta'ala has opened doors for us. In that, when we are earning our livelihood, when we are out in the dunya, when we are walking out of the masjid, when we are with our families, we can also change those adat, or we can also change those necessities into ibadat. By what? One simple thing. The niyyah. The place of the niyyah is the heart. The heart is the place where the niyyah rests. That the heart is the place where we have this quality of ihsan. That the heart is the place where we make niyyah. So that the heart is a very important part of the body. That the heart is actually the thing which motivates a person. A person is motivated to do good. He is motivated to do bad according to how the condition of his heart is. That heart is actually like what we say, Badshah. The heart is actually the king. That heart is actually the king. That heart controls the entire body. And this is actually what Allah Ta'ala focuses on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْدُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجِسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا يَنْدُرُ إِلَىٰ وَلَكِنْ يَنْدُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَإِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. That Allah Ta'ala does not look at your outer appearance. Allah Ta'ala does not look at your bodies. But rather Allah Ta'ala looks at your heart and your deeds. So this heart is a very important, it is a very important part of our body. And we can understand what Hazrat Shaykh mentioned, that this niyyah is the beginning of tasawwuf, and the end of tasawwuf is the quality of ihsan. And where do these things exist? They exist in the heart. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala inna fil jasadi la mudgha, that in the body there is a piece of flesh. إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the heart is a portion, is a part, that there is such a portion or there is such a piece of flesh in the body that if this flesh gets corrected and it gets rectified and it is straight, the whole body will move straight. And if this piece of flesh becomes corrupted, then the whole body will be corrupted. And what is this? This is the place actually where the iman lies. This is the place where Allah Ta'ala differentiates between kufr and iman. A person is declared a kafir, kafir, why? Because of what is in his heart. A person is declared a mu'min because of what is in his heart. A person is declared as a true seeker of Allah Ta'ala, sadiq, because of what is in his heart. Is the niyyah there that a person wants to change his life and that he wants to come close to Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala differentiates between him and the kadhib. The person who says that he wants to change, but he's just lip service, but his heart doesn't want to change. So Allah Ta'ala looks at that. That is the place of focus. Similarly, a person who is doing some action to show off, to show people that I'm doing this action, where is this showing off? Where does this exist? It exists in the heart. A person, na'udhu billah, may Allah save us, is a munafiq. A person is outwardly is a Muslim. Outwardly is a Muslim, but inwardly is a non-Muslim. Where is the problem lying? The problem is lying in the heart. And this is the very same heart which is going to be the savior for us on the day of Qiyamah. And if things are not right with the heart, it's going to be a problem for us on the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Such a day where your wealth will not help you, and your family will not help you, your children will not help you, except that person who comes to Allah Ta'ala, what a heart which is tranquil, what a heart which is at peace, a heart which is at peace with Allah Ta'ala. That means he fulfilled the command of Allah Ta'ala, because only that heart is at peace. Any other person who seems outwardly to be at peace, he is not at peace. In actual fact, the reality is that he is not in peace. But if a person is conscious of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is in that person's heart, that heart is tranquil. That's why when we used to sit in the majlis of Hazrat Hakim Sahib, rahimahullah, he used to always say that the actual kings, the people who are kings, are actually the awliya Allah, not the kings of the dunya. He said, although they have a crown on their head, we'll apparently think that they are kings, but they are not kings. But actually the king is the person who has Allah Ta'ala in his heart. Because that heart is a heart which is salim. So this is the same heart which, if fixed up, which is salim, this is going to be a means of our salvation in the year after. Allah Ta'ala did not say our body or did not say anything else. Because this is the main point. If this is right, the rest of the body will be right. The a'mal will be right. Everything else will be right. Similarly, this heart is the thing which is going to enter us into Jannah. مَنْ خَشْيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ يَدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ. A person who comes with qalb munib, that qalb, that heart which is inclined to Allah Ta'ala, it is going to be told to him that أُدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ, that enter Jannah with peace, enter Jannah with tranquility. So this is what is the differentiating factor. This is why we come to the majalis. This is what tasawwuf is all about. That we need to fix this, we need to correct the problems in our heart. One of the main aspects that any shaykh will start off with is the aspect of aqidah, the aspect of belief. Our belief must be correct. First of all, a person must be a mu'min. If a person comes, is a non-Muslim, he does not believe in Allah Ta'ala, he does not believe in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells the shaykh that I want to take bath, I want to stay in your company, and I want to sit here, but I want to remain with what is not going to make any, is not going to help him anyway. Amilatun nasiba, he can make what effort he wants, He can do how much ibadat he wants, but if he doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, doesn't believe in Akhirah, in whatever aspects of Iman which is required, which Allah Ta'ala commands us in the Quran, is not going to help him. Again, the place of this way is the heart. And this is what you are taught. The ulama of akhlaq, the ulama of tasawuf, from generations unto generations, from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have put this whole tartib for us, they have put this whole system for us, so that a person can actually fall into the system and all these things can be rectified. A person's aqaid can be rectified, and it is impossible that a person's aqaid be wrong and he is progressing in tasawuf. It is not possible. Because these are the very same aqaid which Allah Ta'ala commands us with. This is the very same aqaid that we defend. This is the very same aqaid that we hold dear. And this is a zamana of fitna also. This is a zamana where the challenges are directed to our heart. Challenges are directed to our aqidah. If a person does not adopt taqwa these days, if a person does not have enough knowledge these days, if a person does not have the right company these days, if a person does not keep away from sin these days, then this is such a time where the fitnas are going to be directed in his heart. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this clearly in a hadith. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that tu'aradu al-fitan ala al-qulubi ard al-hasiri udan udan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that fitnas are going to come onto the heart. Trials and tribulations are going to come onto the heart. Like how they are presented to a person who, the ulama explained this hadith, that how they are presented to a person who is making a straw mat. A person who is making a straw mat, he is concentrating, he needs to take one piece at a time, and he has to put it, and he has to weave it through, he has to place it very correctly, and there will be someone who is assisting him, handing pieces of straw to him, or handing pieces of wood to him, fine pieces of wood if he wants to make the straw mat, or this wooden mat, and he'll keep on taking one. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is how it's actually going to be coming and attacking the heart. The fitnas are going to come and attack the heart. Until when the straw mat is done. And if a person took and he paid attention to this fitna, then they are going to affect his heart. Like how the straw mat will cover his heart, like how the straw mat will be made. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, either a person does not pay attention to it, a person safeguards his iman, then the straw mat will not be made. And if a person pays attention to this, he lends an ear to these types of fitnas, then what happens? The mat starts getting done, and it starts getting made, and it starts affecting his heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further explained, he says, فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أُشْرِبَهَا. That whatever heart is takes in this fitna. Today we have many attacks on our aqidah. A person, from the time that he enters the school, he is being taught that Allah Ta'ala, na'udhu billah, is not the creator of everything. Everything came out with a big bang. He is taught that men were actually, this creation took different forms and different stages. If a person pays attention to this, he'll find it ludicrous. But people are actually taking to this. And this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. If you give your attention to it, if you lend your ear to it, it's going to affect your heart. There was one Shaykh Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, a great buzurg, one of the tabi'een, he used to say that you should not lend your ears to anyone who's got bad aqidah. He says, because if he doesn't change your heart, he's going to affect your heart. If he doesn't change your heart, he's going to affect your heart. So now the little children are being taught this, that everything started with a big bang, then it started from this point, then after that it became this, then after it became that, then after men, their forefathers were apes, that ape then finally developed into a man. So na'udhu billah, they want to create the system where they want to take Allah Ta'ala out of the equation. They want to take Allah Ta'ala out of our system of belief. They want to take Allah Ta'ala out of the system of the world. So, this is now the attacks on the aqidah. Again, this is the aspect of the heart. We need to have the correct company, we need to have the right people for us to remedy the situation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further says, the person pays attention to this. He says it starts making black spots on his heart. And if a person does not pay attention to it, then he also gets a benefit. So if a person ignores all this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you have white spots appearing on his heart. This white spots is nur. So if a person pays attention to these bad types of belief, it troubles his heart, spot by spot. And if he does not pay attention to this, then Allah Ta'ala does not leave him without reward. He also gets reward, that the person's heart starts getting white spots, spots of nur. Until Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that his heart becomes white. His heart becomes white, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained it like a white rock. You have this white rock which becomes impenetrable. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَا يَدُرُّ الْفِتْنَةُ فِي الدُّنْيَا لَا يَدُرُّ الْفِتْنَةُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That no, after his heart becomes white, and it becomes solid, and it becomes firm, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no type of fitna will affect this person. So, remember that if you are not lending your ears, if you are invited to do something on the cell phone, if you are invited to do some bathing, then, and if a person stays away from this, then it also benefits his heart. It makes his heart grow, it makes his heart grow stronger. Until your heart becomes so firm, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not, no fitna in the earth or in the skies will now affect this person. But if a person pays attention to this, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that his heart becomes dark, gloomy. His heart becomes dark and it becomes gloomy. To such an extent that now he becomes completely sealed. لا يعرف المعروف ولا ينكر المنكر. That he does not know good from bad, he does not know right from wrong. What dictates to him? أُشْرِبَ مِنْ هَوَاهُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said then, whatever his nafs dictates to him, he will support that. Whatever he wants to go towards, and that is what the world is coming towards. They say that democracy, we want to do whatever we want. You don't interfere with us, we don't interfere with you. And in the same vein, one point important to mention is we are saying kunu ma as-sadiqin, kunu ma as-sadiqin. A person says, no, why must we come to the majalis of the ulama? Why must we come to the majalis of the mashayikh? But if a person doesn't come to the majalis of the mashayikh, he doesn't spend his company in good, it's not that he goes into a dark room sitting alone. In fact, today, even if he goes in a dark room sitting alone, he's not sitting alone, because he's got access to the whole world with his cell phone. And he's got access to the world, worst places with his cell phone. If he's in public, those days the elders used to tell us how bad TV is. And those days there was certain control on the TV also. If a person had his TV in the lounge, he wouldn't watch something very bad, shameless on there, because his mother can walk in anytime, father can walk in anytime, uncle, brother, sister can walk in anytime. But today the TV now is in our hands. Those days the warnings that they used to give us how bad TV is, we are seeing it today, and everybody does have that TV, he's got it in his pocket. He's got the TV in his pocket, and now he's sitting alone with the TV. He can sit with the TV under his blanket, and whatever he's got access, he's got a window to the world of the kuffar. So if he's not in the company of the mashayikh, he's in the company of the kuffar. If he's not in the company of the mashayikh, he's in the company of the kuffar outside. So a person has to choose what company he wants to be in. And if a person keeps on staying in bad company outside, and he does not attend the company of the mashayikh, and he does not keep good company, then he's definitely going to be affected left or right. It's either this side or that side, there's no middle road. That's what's going to happen to a person. And then you'll have the challenges to this iman. And then after that, what happens if a person does not feed his iman? Iman needs to be fed. And the heart needs to be fed. If a person does not feed his heart, the person's heart will eventually die. His heart will become like the hearts of animals. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this. لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنُ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانُ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The eyes do not become blind. That which is in the heart, that becomes blind. Once a person's heart becomes blind, is in a big problem. A person cannot differentiate from right from wrong, like what we mentioned. A person has to make an effort on his heart, he has to feed his heart. One buzurg who was sitting in his company, he also mentioned, he says that the ibadat which you are told to do, which is your duties, he says that is food for the heart. And he says sometimes the mashayikh, they give you ashghal, they give you extra things to do, they give you extra askar to do. He says that is like a medicine. He says, so that is food and medicine. Nobody has any complaints against the doctor when the doctor gives medicine, you know, that why are you giving this dose or that dose? Oh, that is not food, it doesn't taste nice. But this is what is done. It is like a type of, so the heart also gets ill. The heart also needs to be given food. Sometimes the heart needs to be given medicine. A person needs to make an effort on his heart. He needs to make sure that there's nothing wrong in aqidah, nothing bad coming into his heart. There's a place of the niyyah, there's a place of ihsan. A person has to make sure that he is staying away from bad places. A person is staying away from bad company. Now, when we think about bad company again, a person thinks about bad places again, he thinks shopping centers. And he thinks that rave clubs. He thinks these are bad places. And gambling dens, these are bad places. And the effect that those places have on a person, the damage that it does to a person is irreparable. But what about the window between us and those places? It is such today that the TV what we have in our house, that cell phone with what we have, that internet what we have, what is it? It's a window between us and the kuffar. Imagine having a window in your house where your children, everybody is seeing how the kuffar are living. How is it not possible for their lifestyle to affect you? How is it not possible for their shamelessness to affect you? How is it not possible for the kufriya statements, for the attitudes not to affect you? We find many, the students also, we find students becoming very playful these days. They are not like the students of before. They used to be very, very serious. Now and then if a person makes a joke, if a person takes the stock of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you'll see that the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have humor in there, but very little. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq was all the time good. He used to always be smiling. But the fikr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always the akhirat. If you take the schools, let's not even speak about that. But if you speak about the Darul Uloom also, you'll find the children very, or the students very playful. Where did this playful type of attitude come from? It came from cartoons, watching too much TV. You get this playful type of attitude when you see those people on TV speaking anyhow, how they want to anyone, however they want to. This comes into your life. You find it in the children. You find it creeping in society. You find it affecting society at large. You'll even affect it finding the schools to such an extent. You'll even find it in a dini institute, in an Islamic institute, affecting the students there. Let the ustad leave the class. Students all of a sudden, they behave clownish. But this is not something small. It's something very serious. Because we have taken those habits. We have seen those things, those cartoons, all that are having an effect on our mind. Another thing is a person should make dua to Allah Ta'ala. What is also aspects of tasawwuf? Tasawwuf teaches you sabr. It teaches you the quality of tawakkul. It teaches you the quality of shukr. It teaches you all the qualities which are required of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala praises certain anbiya. When you read those praises in the Quran, a person feels envious. Allah Ta'ala praises, when He praises Dawud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam in the Quran for the shukr, a person feels envious. You know, if only I could have this type of relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So, how do we bring the shukr into our life? How do we conscientize ourselves for the shukr? How do we realize what ni'mat do we have on us? We can only realize the ni'mat that we have on us if we sit with people who try to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, who try to count and try to realize every ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. When you sit in a company, and they even sit in your company, you're both with the same objective, you'll start realizing the shukr. You'll start realizing the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, and you start making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And the shukr of Allah Ta'ala can be realized very simple if a person also sees, if you look at the illnesses around you. Every illness should remind you of how healthy your body is in that certain aspect. A person hasn't got a leg. Now you realize the ni'mat of your leg. A person hasn't got toes. You realize the ni'mat of this. A person got a problem with his heart. He's got a leaking valve. His heart is not working. He's feeling dizzy. Now you realize, oh, you know, my heart is functioning well. I didn't realize this before. A person suffers from epilepsy. He faints all the time. What's the problem? He's got a problem in the brain. Oh, I didn't realize. A person sees a person who cannot see properly. A person cannot differentiate between colors. He's colorblind. He sees something, he doesn't know blue from black, from white, from red. Oh, I didn't realize that this is also a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So if a person just ponders over the sicknesses that are prevalent around him, he'll realize what great ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. So this is what it is. This is shukr. A person makes shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Also what? Dua. Dua must become part of our lives. How does it become part of our lives? It's not going to just become automatic. We have to make a conscious effort. A person has to make a conscious effort in this dua. When he makes a conscious effort in dua, how does he get the realization that I must make dua? How does he get the realization that I must specify a certain time of the day I must specify every day for dua. He realizes that when he gets ilm of this, when he sits in the company of the mashayikh. These are many aspects. There are many other aspects also, we can go on and on. But this is what a person should endeavor to achieve. He must achieve this maqam of ihsan, and all the akhlaq, and all the sifat which Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want in us, endeavor to bring that into our life. And whatever company, whichever sheikh we've got some, any type of affinity to, we've got an inclination to, we should spend time in the company. And we should try and achieve all this, and get all those qualities which Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want in us. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq.